Put your hands together and give God praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Put your hands together and give God the praise He deserves. Come on, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. He thought you were to die for. He sacrificed His life so you can be free. Glory to His name. What an awesome God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What an awesome God we serve. Thank God, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. Certainly we thank God on this most noted day, Mother's Day. Ask all mothers to stand. All mothers to stand. Come on, look around and look at our lovely mothers. Come on, give God praise for our mothers. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to you. We thank God for the sacrifices you've made in life, the lives you have given. We revere, we honor, we respect you for you being you. Amen. Look at a mother and say, we just respect you and honor you for you being you. My mother's not here, but the mother of my children are here. She's here. Stand up, baby. Let them see you. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to you. Amen. Amen. She's not my mother. And she thinks she's my mother, but she's not. Amen. You know, when you have a wife and they want to take care of you now, they want you to eat when they want you to eat, and you to lay down when they want you to lay down. Sometimes I have to pull out my license and say, how many years that make me? She's not my mother, but she's a lovely wife and the mother of my children. We have four beautiful children together. Thank you. Amen. My mother is in Mississippi, and certainly we thank God for her, and she's the only parental figure we have, and we do our best to take care of her. Listen, if your mother's still around, do your best to take care of your mother. Amen. 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 Again, happy Mother's Day to all mothers. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us to this moment. Lord, we have great anticipation of you speaking to our hearts. Lord, giving us word for our minds, our life, and our living. Father, we ask as always that you cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing he does will hinder your word from going forth. Send your word as you send rain and snow from heaven. Water the earth. To give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. For we know your word will go forth and it will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish and will not return unto you void. Our hearts are ready. Speak, Lord, we will hear. Lord, I pray that this word be a word of encouragement for mothers today. Thank you, Lord, for giving us mothers, Christian mothers, Lord, who are so sacrificial. Lord, we thank you. We pray their strength. We pray, Lord, that you replenish them as they are poured out and have given of themselves tirelessly. Build them up on every leaning side. Lord, we pray that you make us one, that your word, Father, will fall on good ground, and the word of Christ will be believed by skeptics and critics. Jesus, thank you for coming, dying on that old rugged cross for us, made a way. Now we have life, and we live it abundantly. Thank you for our young people who have led us in our worship experience this morning. Thank you for the junior deacons and the young ushers. Thank you for the young choir members. Thank you for our young people. Continue to use them for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for parents. Thank you for church. Now, Father, I decrease. You increase. Less of me, more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Beginning with verse 1. Second Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. And we would end our reading with verse 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elias, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and brought the vessels, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, I love that. When you see it came to pass, you know something major has happened. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live, thou and thy children, of the rest. A mother of faith. Look at your neighbor and say, a mother of faith. Look at your another neighbor and say, a mother of faith. Come on, help me shout to the virtual audience, a mother of faith. Amen. A mother of faith. I thank God for godly mothers, because godly mothers are benefactors, sponsors, and supporters of their children. What is the necessary component of a godly mother? Well, the world answers are many. The world would say that a godly mother needs a high education. She needs to be professional and independent. But the Bible demonstrates that essentially, or basically, one main characteristic is needed to be a godly mother. And that characteristic is an unshakable faith in God. Because faith in God can get you what an education can get you. Faith in God can do for you what a profession can't do for you. Faith in God can do for you what so-called independence can't do for you. So it's not according to the world's standards, but it's according to the Word of God, that if you have unshakable faith in God and you are a mother, you are a godly mother. But we look at the text, and here it is. We see a woman who had unshakable faith in God. The text says she was a widow, which means that she lost her husband. Her husband was dead. But not only was she a widow, the text says that she had a debt problem because her husband had left her with a debt she couldn't pay. He left her in a financial crunch, in a financial strain, in a bad financial predicament. He left her in a bad way. She had two sons, two boys, and no money. And she had two boys and no job. She had two boys and no source of income. She had two boys and no pension, no allowance, no retirement. She was in a bind. She was in a dilemma because she had a debt her husband didn't pay before he died.
Yes, sir.
She had no trade. She couldn't teach school nor be a secretary as a modern woman. She had her children to care for. Had no money to live on, was faced with a dilemma. You're talking about somebody being at the end of a rope. She was not only at the end of a rope, she was barely hanging on. Because her boys, they served as her source in life, and to lose her boys would be to lose her source of life. She was in a bad situation of circumstances, and if her life was at the bottom of the barrel, and here it is, she's in debt, there is deprivation, deficiency, degradation, because her husband died with a debt. Let me pause parenthetically to say to us, all trouble you find yourself in is not self-caused. Sometimes trouble comes your way, comes to you because of who you connected to. Everybody in your life is not making wise choices and doing the right thing. And because people that's connected to you are not doing the right thing, are not making wise choices and not eradicating debt before death, sometimes you will find yourself in trouble, not because you caused the debt, but because who you love caused the debt. She was in trouble financially because her husband borrowed but didn't pay before he died. Oh, in other words, she was in trouble. She was in trouble because widows in ancient Israelite society was precarious. In other words, the status of a widow depended on the will or pleasure of another. The status of a widow depended on chance, circumstances, and unknown conditions. The status of a widow was characterized by a lack of security or stability that was threatened by danger and debt. In other words, this widow may have been exposed to harsh treatment and exploitation. She may have been mistreated. She may have been used. Maybe she had to put her body up to earn money. But I do know she had a debt she couldn't pay. And society viewed her somewhat in a disapproval manner. I came to tell some mother who's here today that regardless of how society views you, God loves you. You may be a married mother, you may be a single mother, but however society views you, I came to tell you that God loves you. God cares for you. God is concerned about you. There's good news from heaven's camp. God is going to work things out for you because he's concerned about you. God is concerned about mothers. He's concerned about widows. And it's revealed in his word. You remember David in Psalm 68:5. God is a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widow. The word judge means that God is a defender or advocate. In other words, God is on your side. He's your strong tower. He's your strong defense. God is for you. And listen, if God be for you, I'm preaching better, y'all saying amen. He's more than the whole world against you. And if God be for you, no one can do you any harm. He's your advocate. He's your defender. He's your supporter. He's your sponsor. You remember David in Psalms 146, sentence 9. The Lord preserves the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. The word relieve means that God will restore. He will restore you. He will restore the widow. In other words, when the husband of the earth was removed, the widow would cast herself upon the care of her master and her maker, and he would restore her. You may have come into this sanctuary low as low can be. But God, he's going to restore. Your parenting may have taken everything you had, plus some. But God is going to restore. You know, mothers will go to great lengths to take care of their children. And they will spend what they don't have. And listen, God is going to restore. This is what this widow, she had to do. She had to lay herself on the Lord. She had to cast herself upon God. And God restored. Several things I see in the text that warrants our attention if you're going to be a godly mother. Number one, notice the mother's petition. When she found herself in trouble, she didn't just sit idle in the home. She didn't just sit pouting about her predicament. Her faith made her find the man of God. When you in trouble, don't you let the devil lock you in your own home. What you need is a faith that'll make you find the man of God. And let me tell you, the man of God is not hard to find, because you know where he stands every Sunday morning. You know where he stands every Tuesday evening. You know where he stands every Wednesday morning. Listen, when you find yourself in trouble, you need to find the man of God. She got up out of that house and went and found Elijah. And she cried out on behalf of her two sons. In other words, she was in a serious and intense bind because she had lost her husband and she was afraid of losing her two sons. Notice what she said. My husband is dead. And you know he feared the Lord. You know, because he was one of the sons of the prophets. He feared the Lord. But I got a problem. He died, and at his death, his debt was not canceled. So I took on the debt. But here's my problem. He was such a good husband. He would take care of the business. But this time he died. And I didn't work. So I don't have a source of income to take care of the debt. I'm in need of a miracle. Because the creditor is come to take my sons to work off the debt. See, at that time, if you owed money, the wife or the children had to work off the debt. In other words, unpaid debt, debt you cannot afford, causes you debt slavery. Debt unpaid was slavery. So this debt slavery, this debt servitude, was going to claim her son for at least 6 years. Because at that time, according to Exodus 21 verses 2 through 6, they would give the sons into service. But you had what is called a year of jubilee. And they would have to release the son or release the servants on the seventh year. Regardless of how much the debt was paid. If it was paid in full or if it was partially paid. On the seventh year, according to the Lord, they had to relieve the boys. But she couldn't afford to lose her son for 6 years. Let me pause and say to mothers, you can't afford to lose your children for 6 days. You can't afford to lose them for 6 hours. You can't afford to lose them for 6 weeks. You can't afford to lose them for 6 months. You can't afford to lose them for 6 years. She says to the prophet, I need a miracle. And I need it quick. Because the creditor is on his way. You know, sometimes you don't have time to ponder your predicament. Sometimes your trouble is so immediate and immense that you need something done, and you need it done in a hurry. Somebody here can be a witness. You've been in a shape like that. You've been in a predicament like that. That you didn't need some down the road. You needed something instantly done. Do I have anybody here? You needed God to do something in your life quicker than quick and faster than in a hurry. And somebody here can be a witness that when God, when you need it, God will show up. And he'll do it when you need it. Now, he may not come when you want it, but he's always on time. Come on, high five somebody and tell them he's on time. He's on time. He's on time. He's on time. I'm in trouble. I don't have the man's money. I'm going to lose my boys. And I think I need to tell you that if I lose my boys, I may lose my life. So I need a miracle. She found the man of God and she petitioned the man of God. And the man of God gave her instructions. See, when you come to God needing something from God, you need to have something for God to work with. My daddy used to tell me, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. And you know, in arithmetic, zero times anything equals zero. So you need something when you come to God and when you are in need of a miracle from God. Because notice what Elijah said. He says, what do I need to do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, I don't have anything in the house except a pot of oil. Now that turns some of you off right there. He says, what do you have? She said, a pot of oil. If you need a miracle from God, you don't need a whole lot. You just need a little. If you give him a little, I'm going to prove my posture. You don't need a whole lot. He can work with two mites. He just need a little. He says, what do you have? And listen, what you have is enough for God. If it's nothing but a pot of oil, God can multiply the oil. If it's only a handful of meal in the bottom of a barrel, God can multiply the meal in the barrel. If it's only five small barley biscuits and two fish in a last hand, God can multiply. If it's a rod in the hand of Moses, he says, just stretch it out and I'll part the Red Sea. He says, what do you have? If it's just a little bit, if it's just a jawbone of a donkey, he can take it and kill his enemies. All you need is a little bit. You don't have to have a whole lot to work a major ministry in your life and a major miracle in your life. All he needs is a little. What do you have? I got a little. Listen, if all you have is you, take the little you have that you have of you and give him or give yourself to the Lord. At one time, that's all I had was who you're looking at. And I'm here to tell you that God can take a nobody and make a somebody out of a nobody. Do I have anybody in here who can be a witness that God took the little you that you offered him, and now he made you a big you from the little you that you gave him? God only need a little. She says, I only have a little oil. He says, that's all God needs. Just give him that little cruise of oil. He says, but now, that's your possession. He says, but with your possession, you need some participation. Tell your boys to go borrow. Go borrow. Leave the house. Go borrow some vessels of all the neighbors. Go into the hedges and into the highways and go borrow some vessels. Do you have a vessel I can borrow? Do you have a vessel I can borrow? Do you have a vessel I can borrow? Go borrow some vessels. Do you have a vessel? Do you have a vessel I can borrow? Go borrow some vessels. Go all over town, borrow. Do you have a vessel I can borrow? Do you have a vessel I can borrow? Do you have a vessel I can borrow? She said, go borrow vessels. Go borrow vessels. Go borrow vessels from everybody. Do you have a vessel I can borrow? Thank you for the vessel. I need an empty vessel. It don't need no oil in it. I just need an empty vessel. Do you have a vessel? Thank you for the vessel. Give me a vessel. Somebody give me a vessel. They had to go all over town borrowing vessels. Do you have a vessel I can borrow? Thank you for the vessel. Thank you for the vessel. Thank you for the vessel. And then they had to go back into the house with all of those vessels. And when they got back to the house with all of those vessels and set those vessels before the full vessel, the Bible says that God turned on the fountain in the full vessel, and as they poured into the vessel, they moved the full vessel to the side and kept on pouring. You know, it had to be God in the vessel to take the full vessel and fill up all the empty vessels. But listen, when you got participation, you don't have to come full. God will make you leave full. If you come empty, God will fill you up. Is there anybody here? You came with participation. When praises go up, blessings come down, shake somebody's hand and tell your neighbor, I was an empty vessel, but look at me now. I'm a full vessel. I came in one way, but I'm leaving out another. The good news is that God won't let you leave like you came. Thank you, Jesus. He'll turn it around for you. Is there anybody here? No, he'll turn it around for you. I told you that he will restore you. He'll take you from the bottom and take you to the top. He'll take you empty and make you full. But not only will God bless you, he won't just bless you with what you need. He always gives you more than enough, because he went back to the prophet and said, all of the vessels are full. He says, go sell the all. And she went and sold the all and paid the debt. but there was some left over. Is there anybody here? No, God blesses you with left over. He left you some blessings for you. And let me say that again. He left you some blessings for you. Look at your neighbor and said, neighbor, you look blessed. Because God just don't do enough. He always do, or he always does more than enough. That's why I often say that can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. He's shown up good to me, better to me than I am to myself. If you don't mind, stand on your feet and high five your neighbor and said, neighbor, when I was in trouble, he brought me out. When I was down, he picked me up. When I was in trouble, he delivered me. Well, how did he do it? Jesus came through 42 generations, landed in a lonely place called Bethlehem. He walked the dusty street of Palestine for 33 years. One Friday, he went to Calvary and gave his hand on that old rugged cross, gave his feet, gave his back, and gave his head to the crown of thorns, gave his spirit to his father, and his lifeless body to the grave. He died that Friday, but that's not the end of the story. Early Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, he got up for you, and he got up for me with all power in his hands. Let me ask you my question, then I'm going to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah, 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 yeah.
The door. The door of the Lord's house stands ajar. Petition. Possession. Participation. If you petition God, if you offer your possession and you participate, God will restore you. He will deliver you from your troubles. He will save you. Not just you mothers, but he'll save your children. She had enough to pray to pay the creditor. And some to live off of after paying the debt. That's how God works. He don't just give you enough. He gives you more than enough. A few years ago, we talked about abounding in Christ, that there's nothing average about us, and there's nothing average about God. Trust him. He made ways in the past, and he will continue to make ways. Petition. When you're in trouble, don't you avoid church. Don't you avoid Sunday service, Bible study, Sunday school, prayer meetings. keep pressing and praying and fighting. And watch God bring about restoration in your life. She petitioned. She gave the possession. I only have one pot of oil. One pot of oil. It wasn't enough to pay the debt in her hands. But when she put it in the Lord's hands, He turned the fountain on. And out flowed oil. But listen, the fact that she had to borrow, which means she couldn't be secret about her condition. See, the reason some of you don't get delivered is because you allow pride to get you. You don't want anyone to know that you're dealing with something. So you come out with a fake smile. A false countenance. Because you don't want folks to know. You don't want folks to know you're about to lose your children. And the more you keep it secret, the worse it gets. Sometimes you have to come to the altar and say, I don't care who knows. I'm trying to save my child or my children. I don't care who knows it. I'm in trouble. So what? They're going to talk about me anyway. And people love the fact that you're trying to keep it quiet so they can keep gossiping about it. But the moment you come to the altar and you say, I'm in trouble, it hushes the gossip. And then it gives them a responsibility of praying for you. Go borrow. You know, you can imagine when the boys went to the houses. Why do you need an empty vessel? Why do you need an empty vessel? You know, neighbor after neighbor asking, why do you need an empty vessel? I just need something to contain the miracle in. Y'all missed it. I'm not asking you to give me anything. I'm just asking you to loan me something to hold the miracle in. Took those possessions and participated. Sold the oil and had enough to live off of. Listen, come on, mothers. Let me make an appeal first. If you're here and you're not saved, come on, give the Lord your life. Give the Lord your life by simply believing in the Lord. I said earlier, all He needs is you. The little you that you are. Just bring Him yourself. Bring Him you. And He'll work with you. Come on, if you're not saved. Secondly, if you're here, need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart as a faith family, come on. Thirdly, if you're here and you need to be restored, come on. Now, the fourth appeal, I want all mothers to come. Make your way to the altar. All mothers, if you would come. You're constantly pouring out. You need to be poured back into. You need to be appreciated today as much as you have sacrificed. Did y'all hear what I said? You need to be appreciated. You need to be poured back into as much as you have poured out. You're constantly giving. You're constantly sacrificing. Come on to the steps if you can. Come on. Press your way. I want you to hold each other's hand. put a little grip there so there will be a sensation of care. Just a little grip. Just a little grip. Squeeze a little bit. Let the person's hand you're holding know that they're not alone. That there are other women, other mothers that's in this thing with them. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank God for you. This is your moment. Mothers, come on, take the mic with you. Come on, good to see your neighbor. Y'all still holding hands? Put a little more grip in that hand. Listen, God is holding you tighter than that. I told you He'll restore. Listen to the song. Let that be your petition today. This is your time of restoration. Listen, the altar is a place of exchange. You bring something to give to God, and God exchanges it for what He wants to give you. This is a place you let it go. All of the weight and the worry and the things that trouble you. Things of the past, present, even deep thoughts of the future. You give it over to the Lord. You're trying to figure out how things are going to work out. God already has it worked out for you. What you do is give that over to the Lord. And I want you to take time to cast, to give it away, to give it to the Lord, to give it to the Lord, to give it to the Lord. That's it. You've been hurt in the past. Turn it loose. You haven't failed as a mother. Regardless of how your children have come out. You haven't failed. You put it all on the line. You put it all on the line. You suffered things people will never know. You gave up to the point people will never know. And this is your time of restoration. Give it to him. Doing it for you. the pain and all of the hurt, the bad memories, just give it to him. Father, we thank you for every mother that's standing at this altar. Thank you, Lord, for placing within them faith, Lord, to seek you. Lord, knowing that the answer is in you and you alone. Lord, there are times of struggle, times of suffering. They have suffered in silence. No one knows. And they have said, Lord, that they are going to take it to the grave. But Lord, today, they are not going to take it to the grave. They are going to lay that altar and give it to you, Lord, and be relieved of the hurt and the pain and the misery and the weight of all that they have suffered. It's over. It's over. This is their time of restoration. It's over. You're replenishing. You're re-strengthening. You are rebuilding, re-energizing, and refocusing and redirecting them as they stand at the altar. It's over. Their past is their past. Lord, even the mistakes that they are too ashamed to mention, it's over. They are leaving it at the altar. In Jesus' name. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for setting them free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, say with me, in Jesus' name. I'm free. Because whom the Lord set free is free indeed. I'm free. I'm free. Come on, give him a praise. I'm free. I'm free. I'm restored in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. May the grace of God, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say, amen. Amen. A big hug, all of you. Happy Mother's Day. A big hug, all of you. Love you to life. Love you to life.